This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on Point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Holpe.
Oh, spectacular, Braden Holpe.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live from my usual location in the recliner, in the middle of Glen Burnie, Maryland. And yeah, another, it's a short week, a pretty good week. And here with me to report on said week is the one and only mermaid. You know her as, well, the mermaid, Anna Knox, live from Centerville, Virginia.
How the hell are you, Gil?
Pretty darn good.
Good.
But then a 2-0 week will do that.
Right? God, such great hockey. Sorry, but just yay.
Oh, yeah.
I needed this.
Much better than what we had been seeing, to say yes. The least. So, yeah, it was spread out, and there was that long rest. And I don't know, it's kind of some concern that the layoff was going to, you know, put on some rust for our guys, but
right.
they came through.
Yes, they did. And I think we saw players coming out and of, you know, not like a drought, but, you know, a little like, what's going on with this guy? But man, really stepping up and playing smart hockey and playing 60 minutes of hockey. So I was pumped, and I was like, yeah, we need to talk about these two games.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say this, and I rarely rave about this team in this way, but if this is the effort and not necessarily the result, because these were two completely different games,
mm-hmm.
but if this is the effort, this is the style they put out,
I'm on board.
No matter their opponent, come yep. 2-3 weeks from now, then I like our chances very, very much.
I do too. I don't know. It was just like just the lines meshed, and it was, I think there was a lot of concern about Ovechkin not playing last night, but man, everyone stepped up, and then again, you could see it on their faces and you could see it in their body language. And even Kuzi's post-game interview, it's fun. They're having a good time on the ice and not overthinking. And I love it.
Well, you see the fun. I see kind of a business-like approach, but yeah, when they get the results, yeah, that's when the emotion comes out.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. And that's always great to see.
Absolutely. Sorry.
All right. No.
You're waiting on this. Waiting for Boston to score.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, don't be. So for those of you who might be curious, it is our usual time slot for recording 5:20-ish in the evening, Sunday night, April the 25th. And we happen to both be watching the Pittsburgh-Boston game, which is very, very important because it's the battle for second, third, or fourth place, or mm-hmm. possibly first if Pittsburgh wins. And they happen to be up 1-0 right now, which is, that's a little cause for concern, but still plenty of hockey to be played there. So that's a bit of distraction in the background, but we'll still get through it. So let's go to the first of the two games. So not a whole lot, obviously, as far as scoring,
right?
Because there wasn't any.
Nothing. Good day, sir.
At least not during the 65 plus minutes of play. There are no goals to recap. The only goals of consequence were in the shootout. And I'm flipping through this flipping app for this flipping shootout. Yeah, where the heck? And I don't see it. I don't see the shootout report. Okay. No? Well, they think about as much of it as I do then. Okay, fine. Okay, so all you need to know. So the most important goal, obviously, was the one that Evgeny Kuznetsov put away for the game winner in round number three of the shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little deke move, of course, and he puts it away. Didn't do the bird celebration. I thought I would have seen that. But and that's what I meant by the business-like approach. And he was also quick to thank the real hero of the game in his post-game interview, who was, of course, Ilya Samsonov.
Sammy is stepping up to the plate, and I'm loving it.
More on him later, but I will say this. He is making a case for, hey, look, I know I was out for a while, but I want to be the man.
Yeah.
I want to be the guy. I will be the one who stop the puck come playoff time. I for Ilya, remember that.
No.
Yes. Why not?
It sounds stupid.
What? You've heard that saying, there's no I in team. Well,
right. I mean, so why say I for Ilya if he is on the team?
Fine. For once, there ought to be an I in team if it's him, but never mind. Let's go to the what I consider usually, most of the time anyway, the most important stat, shots on goal per period. This is why Samsonov was the number one star of this game. Shots on goal per period. First period, how many shots did the Caps get off? 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm using one hand. Yes. 4. I'm holding up 4 fingers. You can't see it, but I'm holding up 4 fingers. That's all the shots the Caps got on net in the first period. You want to know how many the Islanders got in the
definitely
first period?
Definitely more than
alone?
4.
Way more. Way more. 15.
Yep.
15. And Sammy stopped every single one of them.
Yep.
And he stopped every single one of them in the period after that, all 7. That was 7. And the period after that, which was 3. Now, I like the fact that the Caps defense clamped down as the game wore on and lessened the amount of shots, therefore chances. Well, shots and chances. You don't have to have a scoring chance or a shot to have a scoring chance. But still, very good to see. And 1 in OT.
Mm-hmm.
And, so 26 stops altogether. And, of course, I think he let in 1 during the shootout.
He did.
And so Backstrom got 1 goal and Kuzi got another at the bottom of round 3 to seal it. So he did let in 1 during the shootout. But, of course, shootout goals do not count towards your total. So credited with his second ever career shutout.
Yeah, and that's badass.
Yep. That's, ladies and gentlemen, is why he is the number one star, or was the number one star of this game. Again, 26 stops, including the ones that mattered towards the end. And yeah, so the Ilya freaking Samsonov, that's really all you need to know about this game. And to a lesser extent, the fact that the Caps clamped down on the shots as the game wore on. Very, very good sign. Very good thing. It means that, and you and I talked about this before we just went on, much, much more of a 60-minute effort.
Yes, absolutely. And then, it was what was needed. And And I think that I was glad. Well, are we? No, I don't want to jump ahead, but I will.
Go ahead.
But as a fan, and you know, I think you'll understand where I'm coming from with this. I needed to see this low scoring game, whatever, and that's fine. It was a win is a win is a win, and a shutout for Sammy to carry them into the next game and have it be a consistent win. You know, that's what I needed to see, and we did, and fucking rocked it. But it was just like, okay, we got this. But then are we going to all of a sudden play the same team, you know, 48 hours or whatever later and completely choke? So to me, if this momentum is going to keep going, I'm all on board. All on board.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's all good.
Most certainly. And yeah, to build on your point, we as fans kind of sort of should have expected this type of a game. It's on Long Island. It's at home. It's the style that they play. They had last line change. So, you know, guess what? That it was going to be a grinded out game. Of course, the only negative being that towards the end, the captain, strained himself, and was out of action for the last little bit of the third period, and of course all of OT. And here's a side bit. I'm getting a little tired of some of the fans immediately going, "Oh, well, what's Laviolette doing now? How come Ovechkin's not already out there?"
Right.
I get a little tired of that. I'm starting to get a little sick of, you know,
there's some repeat offenders on social media that I'm like, I'm over you.
That immediately jump to that conclusion.
Right.
And they jump so much that I am more than tempted to say, feeling a bit are you? As much as I hate that saying.
Yeah, I kind of did too.
Yeah, right. That's why I didn't use it. but yeah, I mean, come on. That's the first thing you think of, that he got benched? He got bent for what?
Yeah, that's
not scoring goals. Come on. He's not going to get a goal every game. Everybody knows that.
Right. Anyone who wants to, well, I've seen the lobby blame, and I've seen the this is why Ovechkin is too old to play. And I love the fact that I don't know which Caps Facebook group it was, but man, everyone ripped into this guy and was just like, what the hell? What game are you watching?
Well,
like,
I know a certain group that tends to do that. I'm not going to call them out.
Yeah,
here,
of course.
But
it's like, you know, come on. So, you know, like I think that I personally think that what Laviolette has done with the lines and everything has been awesome. I mean, obviously, I'm going to see it in the next game. I know everyone's kind of up in arms with the D line, and I don't know. I don't think that they're giving them enough credit, but that's just me. And we had that conversation the last time with John, about John Carlson, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you know, I think speaking of Carlson, he was one of the first to say, hey, look, and coming off the last game, which was the 6-3 loss to Boston.
Which was just a terrible game for him. Yes.
Look, to his credit, you know, I talked about it. You disagreed with me, neener. Mm-hmm. But I talked about how bad a game he had, and to his credit, he said, look, you know, I'm one of these guys, but we did not play the game that we should have, and there should have been a lot better effort, and we need to clamp down. And he threw himself under the bus and said, look, this isn't what we're capable of. We need to approach it much better. And yeah, they really, really clamped down the next game. He backed up what he said. And so it was great to see, because it's nice to know that you can play their game.
Yeah.
on their ice, because you're not going to get all the breaks even on home ice. So, all right. So I think we can put that one to bed. So moving on to the next game, which was last night. 6-3 win, and this was somewhat, if you like goals, this was probably a lot more fun to watch.
Yes.
And if you like the number two, this was a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't.
Because the Caps got two goals in the first, two goals in the second, and two goals in the third. So a lot of number two going on, at least if you were an Islanders fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to need to change your wording a little bit, because the number two doesn't quite carry over to the Caps, except in scoring, but that's not how everyone else is hearing it. So we don't have to talk about number two anymore.
No, we don't.
How about double, I don't know, double goals.
Double boil in trouble?
No. All right, go on.
All right, we're going. Okay, so, all right, rundown of Z goals. 2:33 in the first. Garnet Hathaway fires the puck from his wing position.
100% net, needed to do that.
And
awesome.
Gabango into the net it goes. So it follows the old axiom in hockey. If you throw it at the net, good things will happen. And it did. Somehow it got past the goalie Sorokin, which I question the decision by Trotz. I think Varlamov was the hot hand. I think he should have started him.
I agree.
Probably would have been a little bit of a different outcome had he done. But hey, I'm not going to question it too much.
Nope.
Because I think those couple of these that he would have liked to have back. But hey, we'll take it. But yeah, again, throw it at the net. Good things will happen. But except if you're a mermaid, you know, and you have a net thrown at you, that's not a good thing. I would advise throwing a net at a mermaid ever.
Yeah, unless it's Tom Wilson. Then I may, you know, maybe okay with that.
No comment.
Okay. Moving on.
Okay, so 10:55, same period. TJ Oshie with his 17th, a wrister. Backstrom and Ant-Man delivering. Mm-hmm. So that is his the goal scoring streak. Well, the goals and the points scoring streak were ended in the game before, obviously, since everybody was pointless. The game wasn't pointless, but everybody was
scoreless.
Pointless too.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't pointless to watch. It's just that was the result was pointless. Anyway, his 12th assist of the year, Oshie's 17th goal, Backstrom's 34th assist, puts the Caps up 2-0 in the first, and then was this the one? Okay, so the power play, was this the? Let me see. I'm going to jump ahead to the penalty calls. Yeah, this is, oh boy, good Lord. John Carlson was called on probably a penalty cheaper than a half an order of chicken McNuggets for a baseless hooking call.
Yeah.
And that led to a power play, and Anthony Beauvillier, a dumb sounding name, scored on said power play to make it 2-1 Caps. Like I said, really, really cheap call. A lot of it was kind of obvious. One blogger even said, very Tim Peel management like. And if you've been paying attention to what's happened the past month and a half, you know what they mean by that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hated seeing that. But
that was a bullshit call, but
it was. It was. So yeah. And that's when I said, hey, look, you know, this guy's running around the offensive zone. Somebody needs to knock his ass down because he's just getting too much room. And then, so speaking of special teams, so the next period, nothing happened until 7:37 in the second. Boy, and you never, ever want to see these. And we've seen this way too much.
Way too much.
Way too freaking much. Adam Pellick.
Pollock.
No, it's Joe Pollock. They have a guy named Pollock and another guy named Pellick. This is Pellick.
I think it's Pollock, but okay.
There's another defense guy named they had that Pollock, but this guy's name is Pellick. He gets his third of the year unassisted, just glides up the middle of the ice, clearing the puck, and then when he enters the zone, slaps it past Samsonov for a shorthanded goal. And yeah, I wasn't going to give up on the game, but I was not very happy at seeing this. And I know everybody watching wasn't either, but yeah, I think I saw some of the Caps are one of the leaders in the league of shorthanded goals allowed.
Right. Yes.
He's a no bueno. So yeah, I was about ready to make like my wife did the other time with the Islanders game and toss the popcorn, among other things. But I kept watching. I managed to keep watching, especially when 5 minutes later or thereabouts, Nick Dowd, was going to start calling him Nick Drought. He gets his ninth with Brendan Dillon and Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I think that's his first point. His first assist.
PVR's first assist, and he looked good.
He looked pretty good out there. I was going to say, I was a little concerned with Schultze missing some time here.
Right.
But TVR has acquitted himself very well. He's fit in very, very well, done pretty good for himself, and does not look like he's, you know, showing much rust. So kudos to him for being, you know, right on the spot and starting that play and, you know, getting it over to Dillon, who got it over to Dowd to put the Caps up 3-2. That was 12:21 in the second. And then guess who would take over the game at that point?
That's your favorite player.
But our boys on the first line, starting with at 14:46, Daniel Sprong, dong, dong, dong. His eighth of the year. Welcome back to the lineup, good sir. Kuznetsov and Dillon on the assist. Dillon had a quiet, nice, quiet, effective game, which is what you want to see. I got to say something here. A couple of times early in the game, I saw him fumble the puck a few times, and I thought, oh, no, here we go again with this. But he settled down, he straightened himself out, and he had himself a pretty good game, I thought. If there was a fourth star, he would have been it.
Yeah, I like him.
No, he was. Okay.
I do. I'm Brendan Dillon. I just like everything about I don't know. I just like the kid. He's not a kid, but you know what I mean? I
sit corrected. Brendan Dillon actually was the third star in this game. So,
okay, there you go. Yeah, there you go. I didn't look down there. Okay, good.
Yeah, so you didn't look down there?
I didn't look down. I wasn't scrolling that far. How's that?
I don't know.
There's nothing you can say.
You never know how far to go.
I don't. Go far enough, though.
We always go too far around here. You know that. So Sprong, his eighth, coming off the bench, missing the last couple games due to his roster spot taken by Ant-Man and the Rufflecopter, Michael Roffle. Another guy who's fit in fairly well, I think.
Yeah.
And that put the Caps up for good 4-2. And then Caps give up another power play. And J.G. Pageau with his 14th. Makes it the nail biter 4-3 with 17:12 gone by in the second. Backhander on the power play, which interesting enough, my ex producer, but still stepson Jeffrey, pointed out that this basically marked the fact that the Islanders scored on every power play in the game.
Yes, they did.
And that's very true. It's a very astute but true observation. They only had two power plays themselves, but they scored on all three.
Yep.
Shorty and their two power plays. So, yeah, probably not the best night for special teams. I think Blaine Forsythe is going to want to put a shine on his dry erase board and figure out what's going on there. Okay, so moving on. Third period, Kuznetsov would get another goal, 7:35 into the first, making it 5-3. Sweet little wrister, no assists recorded. And then who should strike again but Mr. Sprong going? And this was probably the prettiest looking play. And I am not doing this to kiss up to my co-host because of who assisted on the play. Mm-hmm. But
Tommy looked damn good.
If you look, and I gotta say, you know, I like Tom's consistency, but he's been a little, shall we say, dry when it comes to the offense.
Yes,
lately, unfortunately. So it was good to see him get on the scoreboard. This was okay. I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna call up the replay. This was. You've got to see it. If you didn't see the replay, you've got to see it. This was probably, if you've ever heard of the phrase silky mitts, this was probably the best example of that. So here we go. Off the faceoff, Kuzi wins it, and you don't even see it. It's so subtle. Mm-hmm. It is so quick. You don't even see it. Kuzi wins it, and then it looks like it goes right to Sprong. It didn't. You got to see the replay. So, okay, Kuzi wins the faceoff. Wilson reaches it and just ever so slightly tips it so that it gets to Sprong. Oh, yeah. Backhand, soft saucer backhand pass right to Sprong, right in his wheelhouse, and he wrists it home. And even the replay got it wrong. The replay caption says Sprong finishes Kuznetsov's feed. Well, it wasn't. It was Wilson who fed him the puck. So,
yep.
Yeah. And that, okay. So that one made it, well, that was the final goal of the game. It was his ninth, making it 6-3 and icing it for good. Now, I had a feeling that, Tommy would be involved in the icer because he usually is. He usually either gets the empty netter or the game winner or the one that provides the insurance. He's usually involved.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's usually our Mr. Clutch, and I had a feeling he'd be involved some way. So nice to see him get the assist there. Three stars of the game, Kuznetsov, Sprong, and Dylan.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved, each one. Quick run of the vitals here. Shots on goal, 30 for the good guys, 24 for the Islanders. Face-off percentage, could have done a little better, but it wasn't so bad. 50.9 for the Islanders in their favor. Power play, as we said, well, there were three. Islanders scored on all three of them, but only got two of them. And that's all you need to know about that. Hits were pretty much ramped up. This is a pretty physical game. 36 hits for the Islanders, 28 for the Caps. So everybody was involved. Kind of a sloppy game on both sides. 13 giveaways on each side as far as the movement of the puck. Shots on goal per period. Both teams came out guns a-blazing. 13-11 first period. And then it kind of slowed down 7-8 in favor of the Islanders. And then Caps woke up again 10-5 to finish it off, leading to the totals 30-24. Other than the penalties, one of which, as you said, was bullshit, pretty good game to like, lots of good action on both ends of the ice. And, Sammy, probably, you know, I think that that shorthanded goal he'd like to have back, but not a horrible game, I would think. So, yeah, I think he still made his case.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, pretty darn good game all around. And yeah, so way different, as I said, from the first game, which was a clamp down, rely on your goalie to bail you out when you don't. You know, classic 1-0 game, except we had to wait for the skills competition. Okay, so that maybe not the usual, but still. And then you had this, which was, you know, the 9-goal explosion. So I think it was Timu Solani who said, well, in hockey, sometimes when it comes to goals, it's like the glass ketchup bottle. You pound the hell out of it and nothing comes out. And then it all comes out and spills all over your plate. And that's what happened here.
Okay.
You ever had that happen?
Of course, but I don't know if I... Yeah, okay. I get it.
You get the analogy.
I do.
All right. So, okay. So it was a 2-game sample size, but it was against a division rival, and it was when the chips were down, which of course, you know, is the old saying that it was a playoff-like game, the both of them. So great to see the effort. And, mm-hmm. and as Anna keeps reminding us, the 60-minute consistent effort that came out in both games. So,
yep.
Obviously, we know they can do it. And since they're rising to the occasion, you know, I would like to give them a standing ovation if I could, but I can't because I'm locked in my chair. all right. So that was the week that was on the ice. Quick run of the okay. So the Pittsburgh game just ended. And Pittsburgh won, unfortunately. So, unfortunately, that means a change in the standing. So, in the Mass Quantities East standings, they stand thus. Pittsburgh, 49 games played, 32-14-3, with 67 points, sitting alone in first place. Caps now firmly lodged up their butt. 48 games played, so they have a game in hand, 31-13-4, 66 points. They don't play again until Tuesday against the very same Islanders, who are behind them, 48 games played, 29 wins, 14 losses, 5 overtime wins for the loser point, 3 points behind the Caps at 63, 3 points behind them for the fourth and final spot in the division is Boston, who lost. 47 games played, 27 wins, 14 losses, 6 overtime points for 60 points. And, yeah, all of a sudden now they got the Rangers breathing down their neck right behind them. And the Flyers are 5 points behind them. They're not completely out of it yet, but they're running out of time real fast. So that is, yeah, it's, as I said a couple weeks ago, playoff run starts now. Well, it started yesterday. Before yesterday. So you're not in playoff mode. You forget it. You're done. And the Caps are showing that. And I like that a lot.
I like it a lot.
So, Mermaid, any further comments about the on-ice play? Anything you saw in particular?
No. Well, I think I said nope. Enough.
Yep. Yeah, and well, look, hey, you know what? I can't get over it. I liked what I saw. If I wasn't a believer before, I'm a believer now, and it gets me to the church on time.
Good job. Little modern love. Aww. You must have saw my Facebook post.
Maybe.
Okay.
All right. So with that, we would like to close with some well wishes and positive vibes for a loyal fan. Everybody knows him as the Nats, the Washington Nats baseball team, Nats captain, obvious. Anybody who knows him or is lucky enough to know him personally, whether as a social media friend or having met him in person, knows that what a great guy he is. And unfortunately, health wise, he's fallen on some pretty rough times. I had actually heard that he was This was a couple 3 months ago. He was really, really sick and in the hospital and was not doing well at all. I couldn't find any details. Nobody could give me anything like that. And so I hadn't heard anything since, and I was really, really worried. And then I saw the tweet, and if you all follow our Facebook page, first thing I thought of doing was posting that just to let everybody know, hey, you know, this is a good and loyal fan who's not doing so great and health wise, and we need to put some good jujus together for him, because that can have some effect when, you know, you're down in the dumps. So
absolutely.
I just want to take some time to put that out there and just let everybody know that we're pulling for him, and let Ted know that he's, you know, he's well thought of here at the Triple P, and we're all here pulling for you, Ted. And I know you're going to beat this, and I know you're going to get better, and hopefully get back out there. We'll see you at Nats games again. I know that's going to happen. You'll be out there in your uniform and with your signs and, you know, with a crowd around you during the seventh inning stretch, holding court, and, you know, we just can't wait to see you back out there again. And we know you're going to beat this. And just, you know, get well as soon as you can, because we're thinking of you. So just wanted to put that out there.
Absolutely, Captain Obvious. That's it. Fantastic individual. Diehard DC sports fan and just an overall awesome human being. So yes, definitely sending healthy vibes his way.
Yeah, we'll never ever forget the strange and funny stuff that came along with the Nats 2019 World Series run. But I was glad to see that really put him on the map as far as, you know, the DMV fandom, and that gave him the spotlight that he deserved. So again, can't wait to see you back out there, and hopefully you'll be back on your feet soon and be cheering on the Nats and all the other sports teams in DC like we know you can do. So want to put that out there, because Ted's always been a great guy as a supporter of the show, and one of the things we do around here, because again, we like to make the Caps fan the star around here, so just wanted to throw that out there. All right, so I think this ought to be, we need to, real quick, just need to go over the schedule. If I can get my app to work again. Okay, so that ended, the week ending the 24th. So, as I mentioned, the next game for the Caps is back home at Capital One against the very same Islanders they played, 7 o'clock puck drop at Capital One. Next game after that is the first of two against Pittsburgh, 7 o'clock Thursday night, the 29th, and that ends April for them, 7 o'clock puck drop at Cap 1. Oh, by the way, of course, Tuesday, first game, fans are back. Yay, yay, yay. Mm-hmm. So if you are lucky enough to be in person, scream it out loud, cheer for the team, rock the red, do what you do, a little love for the show would be nice if you got something out there, but that, hey, whatever, just make your presence felt. So cheer like you never cheered before. So that ends that month. So next game is, as I mentioned, Saturday, that's May the 1st. Also against Pittsburgh, the second of two, 7 o'clock puck drop at Cap One. And then comes the last full week. It's Rangers, and then Philly, fulfilling that week. And then they got one odd game at the end in the middle of the week. And that was kind of rescheduling. A lot of people were confused about, the big gap, what caused the big gap. There was supposed to be a game apparently Tuesday. A lot of people forgot that that got rescheduled because of the COVID thing that was going around in Boston for a little while. So, yeah, gotta pay attention. Just like the staircases in Harry Potter, they change. Gotta pay attention.
I wouldn't know.
Of course you wouldn't. Because you're not into that kind of thing.
I'm not.
Staircases, that is.
And Harry Potter. But, yes. Okay.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, time to wrap it up for another week of Caps Hockey. Thanks very much for listening again. This show number 159. Do please keep it up. If you want to contact us, I am at BlueLiner98 for Twitter. And of course, there's the Facebook page, and you can always get a hold of Anna on Instagram as well.
Aquinox49.
Yep.
Facebook page. And God, I always forgot my Twitter. I think it's Anox49.
Anox49 on Twitter. And of course, if you can't get enough of Anna, and who can, there is always, always, always the Sports on the Hill podcast, 9 o'clock Monday evenings, live on Facebook and the True Radio Network. And she is always the featured commentator on Caps Talk there. So,
yep.
There we go. So, for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that I used to have a job at a calendar-making factory. But I got fired for taking a day off.
What?
I took a day off of one of the calendars accidentally.
Oh. No.
I said, that comes off your time. You're fired.
Yeah. No.
That's the first time I've ever had to go
explain.
Backtrack.
I know. It took me a second that as soon as then I was like, oh, wait, I think I got it, but I'll just go ahead and let you explain. Works out either way.
Yes, it does.
Oh, boy. All righty.
Unfortunately. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. And let's go, Caps.
Go, Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hello there, Triple P fans, Blue Liner back. It occurred to me that I teased a little thing, and in our zeal, the Mermaid and I, to run through and get through this week, since it was such a short week, I forgot to put out the segment that I promised. Not going to take very long. Just wanted to relate something here. I mentioned on the there's been the big to do, of course, about the big trade that brought both Anthony Mantha and Michael Roffel to the Caps. It's two different deals then, but there was a couple of different Facebook groups that said this might be one of the biggest deals that the Caps have pulled off. And I mentioned, well, there was one trade back in time that I thought had just as big, if not bigger, a bigger impact on the team at the time, but you have to go into the Wayback Machine to study that one. So let me flip the switch here. Okay, and so the trade I'm talking about took place March 7th, 1989. So you older Caps fans, the folks out there that have been following the team for quite a while will appreciate this one. And so this one saw Mike Gartner, winger Mike Gartner, and defenseman Larry Murphy go to the Minnesota North Stars in exchange for Dino Ciccarelli and Bob Rouse. Rouse was, of course, a defenseman, but eventually became an assistant captain, alternate captain, that is, with the Capitals later on. And the year after this, well, that first year, well, Caps didn't do too well, but then they would go on to do very well for themselves in the next two playoff years, and ending up in the conference final for the very first time the very next year. And so I think the reason I mentioned this trade is that it kind of harkens back to the fact that, well, you had two guys that were prolific goal scorers, shall we say, but also, shall we say, had different ways of scoring. And Ciccarelli, well, his style was more oriented to the playoffs. And that's what they decided, and that's why they went out and decided to get him. And I think, honestly, what you're seeing here with the Mantha trade is history repeating itself here. So I thought I would point that out. And I thought the some of our older Caps fans might get a kick out of that, because I think that's the same thing here. I really think, no knock on Vrana, of course, but Mantha's style of play overall is, I think, a lot more suited to the playoffs, and especially a long playoff run. Again, no knock on Vrana. He served us very, very well in the cup run. But I think long term, Mantha will do just as well, if not better, in the playoffs. So I thought I'd kick on the old Wayback Machine one more time here and point that out, and see if you Caps fans agree or not. But if not, what do I know? I've only been watching this team for 40 years of my life. So there you go. Thanks for listening.